Welcome to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for Saturday, April 14th, 2007. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. Welcome to an abbreviated edition of the Fredcast as we prepare for this year's Ride Across California. Now, if you've been listening to the Fredcast, you know what this is all about, and we're going to hear from our special guest star, and that's Emily, as she tells us about her preparations and her feelings getting ready for this year's Ride Across California. Following that, a quick review of a new product that those of you who are using a GPS as you ride your bike are going to want to hear about, especially if you're Mac users. So, sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Fredcast is brought to you by Cambria Bicycle Outfitter, providing quality products and unparalleled customer service to the cycling community for over 20 years. And here's another reason to shop at Cambria. Use the promo code found in tonight's show notes at www.thefredcast.com for 20% off your entire order at Cambria Bike. Cambria Bicycle Outfitter, they outfit the world. Welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast. And before we get into the interview about the Ride Across California and the information about the new GPS logging program for your Macintosh computer, it's time to get into the news. And we start the news this week with some Pro Tour news, starting with a couple of races that we talked about on the last show. And the first was the single day 220-kilometer Belgian race Gent Wevelgem. And of course, this happened on Wednesday, April 11th. And this year's event was won by German rider Marcus Burghardt from the T-Mobile team. Second place went to his teammate Roger Hammond, and third went to Oscar Frere from the Rabobank team. Now, this was an extremely tough event. As we mentioned last week, this is yet another one of those races that includes the cobbles and a very difficult climb and especially descent on a hill called the Kemmelberg. And in this race, they had to go up and down the hill twice, and it turned out to be catastrophic for several riders. In the end, however, it was winner Marcus Burghardt putting the afterburners on with about 1.3 kilometers to go to pull away from Hammond and Frere and win the event. However, prior to that, there were lots of crashes. According to the winner, Marcus Burghardt, quote, "It's my biggest ever win and my first pro win, and for that to happen at a Pro Tour race makes it all the sweeter. It's the best possible outcome for me." Well, meanwhile, what happened back on the Kemmelberg and what made it just so awful? Well, number one, you've got the cobbles on this event, and that turns into some twitchy riding going on, even in the pro peloton. Couple that with water bottles bouncing out of people's cages, and it can become a crash fest. And that's exactly what happened. On two descents, there was lots of carnage, including American Tyler Farrar from Cofidis. He ended up having a broken left kneecap. And French rider Jimmy Casper from the Unibet team, he actually ended up in intensive care for a while because he face planted on the descent. It was extremely tough. Now, I'm told through a lot of the reports that the cobbles were actually in decent conditions, but between the steepness, the narrowness, as well as all the bouncing and the water bottles all over the road, there was just a lot of carnage out there. At the end, however, again, the winner, first place, Marcus Burghardt from T-Mobile in 4 hours, 52 minutes and 14 seconds. Just 4 seconds behind him was his fellow T-Mobile rider from Great Britain, Roger Hammond. Third place from Spain and the Rabobank team, 5 seconds back, Oscar Frere. In fourth place, Francisco Ventoso, also from Sonier Duval. He's also from Spain. And in fifth, Christophe Mengen from France, from the Française de Joux team. Now again, Ventoso from the Sonier Duval team did very well in the Gent Wevelgem. And speaking of Sonier Duval, you'll remember that the last time we did the Fredcast, I mentioned the fact that Juan José Cobo, also from Sonier Duval, was the leader after the first stage of this year's Vuelta Ciclista al País Vasco, or the Tour of the Basque Country. He held on to that leader's jersey until stage three, when he lost the overall lead to Ángel Vicioso. And he then won the stage on Friday to put himself back into the lead. And then on Saturday's final stage, which was an individual time trial, despite placing third in that stage, Kobo was able to maintain the overall lead and clinch the win in this year's Tour of the Basque Country. And he said, quote, "I knew I was going well after I finished third overall in the Tour of Castile and León a few weeks back, but winning the Basque Country is another story altogether." He went on to say, "A week ago, I hadn't won anything at all since I turned pro in 2004. Now I've taken two stages and the overall in the Basque Country, and I can look forward to challenging in other races as well." Now, Kobo's victory is Sonier Duval's second straight win in the Tour of the Basque Country, and that is widely considered Spain's second most important stage race. And of course, the first most important stage race for them is one of those great Grand Tour events, the Vuelta a España. So what's next for the Pro Tour? Well, I think we talked about this on the last show, and it is one of my favorite events. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss it, and I'm going to have to tape this one on my TiVo. This is Paris-Roubaix, the Hell of the North, one of the most exciting cycling events every single year. So as I mentioned last week, go to cycling.tv, check out the Versus coverage. This is one that you don't want to miss. Now, this year, from a cyclist perspective, from those who are out there actually doing the racing, it's good news because it should be dry and sunny, and that should make the cobbles just a little bit less intense and a little bit less treacherous. There are those out there, however, in the spectating world who just love it when this is a muddy, wet mess, because unfortunately there are people out there who are spectators who are looking for that NASCAR-style excitement when the crashes occur. As for me, that's not something that I look for in this event. I just like to see the grit and the determination and the technical skill of the cyclists as they go over those pavé or cobble sections. So this one should be yet another event. I'm sorry that George Hincapie is not going to be there, because I know this is one that he would desperately like to win. Nevertheless, there's some great competitors out there, and when we come back next week on the Fredcast, I'll have all your results for you from this year's Paris-Roubaix. So with those last two Pro Tour events, the Vuelta Ciclista al País Vasco and the Gent Wevelgem, we have new Pro Tour standings this year. And with Oscar Freire's third place finish in this year's Gent Wevelgem, he's now catapulted himself into first place in the Pro Tour standings with 77 points. In second place, Italy's David Rebaillin from the Gerolsteiner team with 62 points. In third, Alberto Contador from Discovery and Spain, 58 points. And in fourth, Juan José Cobo, the winner of the Tour of the Basque Country from Spain, and Sonier Duval, 57 points. And in fifth place, Andreas Klöden from Germany and the Astana team with 53 points. Well, there's a new twist in the Floyd Landis case. As you well know, May 14th marks the date of his arbitration hearing with the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, or USADA. In advance of that hearing, a special panel of USADA has now voted 2-1 to take some of Floyd's backup samples that were given at the Tour de France and test them yet again to gather additional evidence in the case. Now, this is occurring over the objections of Floyd Landis, and what you may be thinking is, well, there was an A sample and a B sample on that 17th stage of last year's Tour de France. What are they testing? They're testing some of the samples that came back negative when they were tested with the A sample. They're now going to test the B samples from those same days, which is a bit unusual as far as I understand it. Normally, backup samples from negative tests aren't tested. Nevertheless, USADA is planning to test those backup samples to gather additional evidence for, quote, other aspects of its case. Now, if the tests of these backup samples come back positive, these results can't be considered a positive test. So I'm really a bit unclear about why they're testing negative samples and what exactly they're trying to prove, which, since we already know, once there's been one negative, you can't take, if a positive should come back, you can't take that positive as a conclusive positive result. So this is highly unusual. Now, Floyd requested that these samples be tested at the UCLA lab here in Los Angeles because he believes, number one, as he said all along, that the French lab mishandled his samples and is not following proper procedures. So there's a fundamental mistrust of that French lab, and he also believes that the UCLA lab simply is the best lab in the world. According to Floyd Landis, quote, "The UCLA lab is widely regarded as the best in the world, and I have full confidence that if these samples were tested there, that they would come back negative, as would have my stage 17 test from the Tour de France. This is why I've requested that they test the samples at UCLA, a request that USADA has repeatedly denied." Now, according to everything that I've read, one of the problems here is that some of the machinery at UCLA is down, and that would cause a delay in these tests. Nevertheless, according to the USADA, a WADA lab is a WADA lab. And that really is one of the things, one of the linchpins of Floyd Landis's case, is that that may be true, that WADA may consider every lab equal, but Floyd is saying that it appears that there were too many improprieties at the French lab, and therefore he doesn't want them testing his results. Nevertheless, that's exactly what's going to occur in this case. And again, I'm still a bit unclear about why it is that they'll be testing these formerly negative samples, but I suppose come May 14th, we will all find out. Now, you may recall that a few weeks ago I mentioned the fact that SRAM has decided to recall some of their brake caliper sets, and that was originally a voluntary recall. Well, they've now made it official with the Consumer Product Safety Commission here in the United States, recalling about 5,400 units of the SRAM Force road brake caliper sets. Apparently, the brakes could break and detach from the bicycle's fork or frame, causing the rider to lose control and crash. I've put links in the show notes to the CPSC recall page as well as to the SRAM recall page so that you can determine whether or not your brakes are covered by the recall. There are some specific dates involved and some specific date codes, so I recommend that you check those show notes and go ahead and go to those pages and find out whether or not your brakes are included in the recall. If they are, you should stop riding them immediately and go to your local SRAM dealer to have them repaired or replaced. Now, our friends over at Bike Biz Magazine at www.bikebiz.com let us know about the fact that Shimano is now sponsoring sort of a unique and cool contest, if you ask me. It's a contest for you to submit a video that will inspire people to get out on their bikes. And the videos are going to be submitted on YouTube, and they've created a special YouTube group just for this contest. Winners will be given various Shimano groups and various Shimano products, and this looks like a really great contest, and I'm hoping that there's going to be some excellent videos coming out of this. And there is an introductory video talking about what they're looking for as well as the rules there on YouTube. And I'll make sure that I put links in the show notes. And by the way, if any of you out there do submit your videos, please send me an email and let me know. Maybe send me a link to your video because I'd love to feature it here on the Fredcast. Maybe we could put together a video podcast of some of the better videos that are out there on YouTube submitted by Fredcast listeners. And then hopefully a Fredcast listener might win this competition. So go ahead and check out the show notes and start filming. Perhaps you could become the winning director in this great contest sponsored by Shimano. Finally tonight, a little bit of Lance Armstrong news, something we haven't had here on the Fredcast in a little bit of while. But this is news that he, and I guess a bit like we talked about a couple of weeks ago with the basketball player investing in Cannondale, here's another story about a famous athlete investing in a company, and this is Lance Armstrong investing in a company called FRS, which is Free Radical Scavenger. And this is probably a drink that you've seen in your local store before. FRS is a drink that includes, it's an energy drink, but it also includes vitamins and antioxidants. And this is something that you've probably heard more and more about lately. You've seen that antioxidant label all over the packages in your local supermarket because this really seems to be sort of the trend du jour in nutrition, and antioxidants are said to have amazing health effects. I mean, you even see the antioxidant label on everything from Hershey's chocolate to Lipton teas, and according to the USA Today, more products with antioxidant claims rolled out in the first 3 months of 2007 than in all of 2004. Apparently, FRS was originally developed and marketed to help cancer victims who were dealing with chemotherapy because, again, antioxidants are said to prevent oxidation of cells, and that can often occur due to an overabundance of chemicals in the body. Now, of course, the best source of antioxidants comes from fruits and vegetables, but here's a drink that tastes good. I've had it myself before, and something that is really easy to reach for. According to Lance Armstrong, he said, quote, "No one will take a drink of this and be Superman overnight, but we know that people reach for beverages, and this is a lot healthier than most." Apparently, according to Dick Lamb, who's the CEO of New Sun, that's the company that creates FRS, quote, "It delivers a short-term feeling of well-being and long-term health benefits, and that sets us apart from other energy drinks." And apparently, Lance Armstrong drinks this every day. So if you're one of those people wearing your U.S. Postal Service or Discovery jersey and riding your Trek Madone and wearing your yellow wristband, this may be your next drink of choice. And that's going to do it for the news for this week's edition of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Well, a couple of announcements and notes that I wanted to mention here at this point in the show before we get on with the features. And the first one is about the forthcoming reviews of power meters here on the Fredcast. We teased that a couple of weeks ago when we interviewed Rich Wharton from the onlinebikecoach.com website. And we talked about the usefulness of power in cycling training. And I've gotten some emails from many of you saying, hey, did I miss those reviews you were talking about? Because I didn't hear it. And the fact of the matter is, no, you didn't miss it. You haven't heard it for a couple of reasons. Number one, a couple of the companies have been a bit slow getting their power meters to me, and they're starting to trickle in. And there's just one of me, and I am getting to review each of those as quickly as I can. And quite honestly, there have been some technical issues with one or two that I've needed to work out. And getting my schedule and the tech support guys' schedules coordinated has been a bit difficult. So if you'll bear with me for just a couple more weeks, we'll start getting into those power meter reviews really, really quickly. And of course, if you have any questions about power meters or anything specific that you'd like me to look at as I'm doing those evaluations, please let me know. And quite honestly, if things get a little difficult with one or two of these companies just being slow about sending their power meters to me, I think I'll be putting the Fredcast army to work and putting a little bit of pressure on the manufacturers to get those out. So just be patient. I will have those for you very, very soon. One other note that I wanted to mention, that is, of course, that the Fredcast socks are still available, but they are selling very quickly. Thank you all very much. So if you do want to get your pair or a couple of pairs of Fredcast socks, please go to the website at www.thefredcast.com and click on the picture of the socks and place your order today. Thank you very much for doing it, and thanks for your support of the Fredcast. Now, for those of you who've been listening to the Fredcast for the last couple of months, you're aware of an event that I'm participating in called the Ride Across California. Now, this ride isn't about me, and it's not about my participation. It's about the participation of my daughter, Emily, and her fellow fifth graders as they attempt a feat that very few 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds normally do. They'll be riding from the California-Arizona border all the way to the ocean in Carlsbad, a one-week journey of about 250 miles, and this is quite a feat if you're only 10 years old. You may recall that I interviewed Gary Rossi, who's one of the organizers of the event, several months ago, and a few weeks ago, I interviewed my daughter Emily as she completed this year's tour of Palm Springs. Well, it's Saturday night, April the 14th, and tomorrow morning we head out down to the Colorado River at the California-Arizona border and get ready to start our ride across the state of California. And I thought you might like to hear from Emily one more time before we get ready for the ride, and you'll be hearing a lot more from her as I'll interview her every day as we do this ride across California. And a lot of you have written in and told me how much you've enjoyed Emily being on the show. So I thought just before we tuck her into bed and let her get some well-deserved rest before we do this ride, that I'd want to bring her on the show and have her tell all of us about what her preparations have been like. So without further ado, let's get right into that interview. Okay, well, this is going to be sort of an interesting interview for me because it's always fun interviewing a member of the family. Emily, are you ready for the ride across California?
Yes and no, because I'm a little nervous about the big hill and the little speed bumps, as they call it. But more than anything, yes, probably.
Okay, so the big hill I think she's talking about, on one of the days we ride up to Julian, California. Julian's well known for their apple pie, so I think that's a bit of an incentive for the kids to get up it. But it's called Banner Grade, and from what I hear, Emily, it's a 6-mile climb. Do you think you're ready for a 6-mile climb?
Yes.
Why do you think that?
Well, because I've done Sepulveda, and I've also done Latuna, which is like a 4-mile hill, and it's pretty steep and it's turny, so it's kind of teasing. Like you think you're gonna get to the top when you go around the turn, and then you're like, oh darn it.
You know what? We've all been there, because that's one of the things a lot of us are used to, right? We get on a climb, and you go around that one turn, you think that's the top of the hill, and oops, no, it's not. Now, you've also done one of the hill climbs down in San Diego, and I would say you're prepared. Tell everybody why we think that you might be prepared.
Well, I've ridden over 300 miles to train for it, and most of them have had hills in them that are fairly long and steep. So.
Okay, so you're prepared. So what kind of stuff are you bringing with you on the ride? Because are we staying in really nice hotels? Is that the way? Is this like the Tour de France where we have, you know, those guys who come and massage us and make sure that we're all happy every night? Tell us about what we're doing.
Well, we're actually, most the nights that we're staying, we actually have to make a tent and sleep in the tent. And so I'm a little nervous about that because I'm not really good about bugs. But
And because I snore.
Yeah. but... I'm excited.
We practiced putting up the tent today. So you think we can do that every day?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are some of the fun things that are out there on the ride? Do you remember some of the fun things that we're going to get to do?
Well, I remember that we are going to get to swim in a Navy pool.
Yeah, it's the Naval Air Station out there. I think it's in El Centro. And we get to use our officers' club and swim in their pool. So that's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, and also, when we're going up Julian, it's actually a race. So whoever gets up first, you win. But I don't think you get anything. But you just have the feeling of winning.
Sort of the bragging rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other thing that's really great that they do is on the last day, all the adults will stop and choose a handful of the kids who have really exemplified determination and guts and just a really good attitude on the ride. And they'll actually lead us to the finish line at the beach in Carlsbad. I don't know if you knew about that, but keep that in mind. You have to have a good attitude because you want to win that, right?
Uh-huh.
And you get to wear a yellow jersey. Where do you think that comes from?
The Tour de France.
The Tour de France. That's right. So, Emily, I think it's time for you to go to bed. And the listeners will get to hear from you because I'm going to interview you as we do this ride. And I guess that's about it. So so go get some sleep, and we'll see you in the morning. Okay. Say goodnight to everybody.
Good night.
All right, and that's our interview with Emily, and she's going to go to bed now, and we'll be interviewing her over the next week. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of emails from people saying how great it's been to listen to Emily on the show. And I got a couple of emails from people questioning why it was that we'd be talking about something like this on the Fredcast. And I think that it's really a bit of inspiration for all of us who have kids, and even if we don't have kids, because to hear a group of 10 and 11-year-olds who are willing to get on their bikes for a week and ride across the state of California, I think shows that really anybody can do something like this. And one of the things that all the organizers of the Ride Across California are shooting for is to teach kids that if they set a goal and if they set their mind to something, that they really can accomplish anything. And that is what I'm hoping that Emily gets from this ride. And that's something that I hope that all of you will get from sharing Emily's experiences on this ride on the show. So we'll be talking to you a little bit more about the Ride Across California over the next month. In the meantime, I have to go tuck a 10-year-old into bed. Now, of course, as I'm out there on the roads of California going from Arizona to the ocean, I will have my trusty Garmin Edge mounted on the stem of my mountain bike. Yes, I'm riding my mountain bike on this ride. I just thought that going at a 10-year-old speed, I think I'd be a little bit more comfortable on my full suspension mountain bike instead of on my road bike. Again, my Garmin Edge will be on my handlebar stem just because I take it with me everywhere. It is my primary cycle computer, and also because I want to be able to create maps that the organizers of the Ride Across California will be able to use in years to come. So they'll be able to use the geographical maps. We can put them into Google Earth. People could upload them into their own GPSs in the future, and also to be able to give them some elevation maps. Now, as you know, I'm a Mac user. And the Mac software from Garmin, the Garmin Fitness Center application, only came out just a couple of months ago. And I don't think it's any secret that nobody feels that it is as full-featured as it really could be. And so somebody has finally stepped up to the plate and created a very, very full-featured Macintosh application that will allow you to interface your Garmin Edge with your Macintosh computer. And I was lucky enough to give this software a try. The software is called Ascent. Ascent is produced by a company called Montebello Software, and what it is it's a program for the Mac that's designed to allow you to better train by organizing all of your data and presenting it in extremely useful ways. What's great about this program is that you install it on your Mac, you connect the Garmin Edge with the included, you know, the cable that comes with the Garmin, and then you simply hit a button that says sync with your GPS, and it's all downloaded right into the program. Now, if you've already imported a bunch of GPS data into the Garmin Fitness Center, no problem, because Ascent will allow you to import all of that information right into its own database, either from a GPX file or from the Garmin Training Center's history file, the HST or TCX files. Another great thing about this program is that you can export your data as a GPX file. And if you're not familiar with what a GPX file is, that's simply a file that works with a variety of different GPSs from a variety of different companies so that you can exchange data with other people. So for perhaps you have a great cycling route and you'd like to share that with somebody else, well, you'd export it as a GPX file. And then no matter what kind of GPS they have, they could import it into their GPS and they could then follow that track. You can also export as a KML file. KML files are used by Google Earth, and of course Google Earth is used by many of us. It's a great time-wasting program if you haven't already used it by yourself before. But what's great is by having this KML file, you can import into Google Earth, you can view it from so many different angles, and you can also use the flyby feature, which is in Google Earth. So that's a lot of fun. And of course, right from the file menu, you can also email the file to anyone you like so that then they could have your ride data. So for instance, maybe you're working with a coach and you take a ride, you import it into Ascent, and then you just click that button and you can email it off to your coach so your coach can see your entire workout for the day. And if your coach is using Ascent, I think they're going to be very happy with the various ways that they can view your data from your rides. The first thing that they're going to see when they first import your data into their version of Ascent, or the first time that you look at your data in Ascent, is you're going to see a multi-paned window. The main portion of the window includes each of your individual activities, and those can be organized by showing all of your activities. They can be organized by week, by month, or by year. And what you'll see is various columns: the date and the time of your ride, the ride number, the distance of the ride, the duration, your average speed, the amount of climb, and then whatever keywords you want to put in. So it's a bit like tagging right here within Ascent. On the upper right-hand portion of the window, there's a map view. Now, in order to get the map, you must be connected to the internet because this is using a variety of different internet-based mapping programs, USGS, and Virtual Earth. And if you want to look at either of those, well, first at Virtual Earth, you can look at simply roadmaps. So you'd see your route overlaid on roadmaps, or on an aerial view, sort of a satellite view, or a hybrid of both. So on the satellite view, you'd see the names of the roads and your track would be overlaid on that. Or you can use the US Geological Survey maps. They have aerial views, urban views, and topographical views. Topographical views could be very useful for those of you who would want to use your GPS with mountain biking or perhaps hiking. So some great views and some great maps that you can see. Below that, there's a small elevation chart showing your entire profile for your entire ride. And then beneath that is the information on the ride where you can actually type in a bit of a log entry about how that ride went, the type of activity that it was, whether it was cycling or hiking or whatever you did, as well as what kind of equipment, etc. Finally, there's statistics that show the entire length of the activity, your maximum heart rate, your average heart rate, your maximum cadence, your average cadence, your altitude gain, etc. Very, very useful. But then when you click the detail button, you would now have an extremely detailed view of either your map or of your elevation profile. And what's really great is you can use, sort of like in Google Earth, there's a flyby view that will show your entire ride from start to finish. And you can run this in real time, where you watch the dot move along your course, and as it does, it shows your cadence and your speed and your heart rate and your altitude. Or you can do it at very fast speed, or you can just move the cursor around and you can see where at various parts of your ride you were. Very, very useful in the elevation view, because you can see as you get to the top of that big climb what your heart rate was. This is a very, very useful feature and something that you do not see in the Garmin software. Another really nice feature of the software is something where it will automatically split your ride into different activities. So say, for instance, you went for a ride and you forgot to turn your GPS off, and then several hours later you go for another ride. Well, under most circumstances, certainly in the case of the Garmin software, that would all appear to be one ride. But you can set in the preferences that after a certain period of time, it automatically splits your ride into two. And I think that that's very useful, because we've all had the situation where we forget to turn off our equipment, and then there we are with one long ride when we really meant for it to be two shorter rides. I like that feature a lot. Now, Ascent, again, is only a Macintosh application. It works with PowerPC or Intel-based computers. Again, it's a universal binary. Your display has to have 1024 by 768 or greater, and you have to be running macOS 10.4 or later. It will work with a variety of Garmin GPSs, including the Edge 305 and 205, the Forerunner 305 and 205, and the Forerunner 301, and according to the publisher, it may work with other Garmin GPSs, but they just haven't been tested by the authors of the program. So you can, one of the great things though is that if you have one of these other GPSs, you are free to download and use the software for free. However, you can only import 10 activities into the program, and you can't import any of the Garmin Training Center files. However, if you download it and you like it, then it's really only $35 to purchase the program. And in my opinion, this is a program that is well worth the $35. It has far more features and is much, much more polished than the Garmin software itself. And if you're a Garmin user, you've already spent a lot of money on your GPS. My personal opinion is you should have the software that would go along with it and that is on par with the hardware that you bought from Garmin. Garmin, in my opinion, didn't do everything that they could have with the Training Center application. So instead, I highly recommend that you check out Ascent, and it's at www.montebellosoftware.com. And by the way, while we're on the subject of Ascent, they have great customer service forums on their website. And it really appears to me that they are listening to their customers. They're frequently updating the program. And this is one that for your $35 is only going to get better and better. And something that I do highly recommend for those of you who are Mac and Garmin users. And finally, one more thing I wanted to mention about the Garmin units, aside from the Ascent software, is the fact that Garmin has finally posted their so-called web updater application, which allows you to update the software on your Garmin Forerunner or Edge unit from your computer. And they finally updated that web updater software so that it will work with Macintosh computers. So here's a twofer. The web updater software is finally there from Garmin for your Macintosh computer, and now Montebello Software is providing you with a very full-featured data management system for your Garmin data. What more can us Macintosh users ask? Well, that's going to do it for episode 68 of the Fredcast for this week. I've got to get myself into bed to get up early to drive down to the Arizona-California-Mexico border and head out on the ride across California. And I know you'll all be riding along with us. And we'll be back next week with another show and a lot of great information from the ride across California and our typical Fredcast news, as always. Between now and then, if you have a chance and you'd like to send me an email with any questions or comments about the show, please do so. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. Just know that I'm going to have limited email connectivity this week, but I will get back to you as soon as I can. Of course, if you'd like to send a voicemail, our voicemail line is area code 206-203-FRED. And in the week to come, won't you please go over to Podcast Alley and vote for the Fredcast to keep us up there in the top 100, as we have been consistently for the last year plus, and we appreciate you for doing that. And of course, head on over to iTunes and write a review and tell a couple of friends. If you're out at Sea Otter, or perhaps you're going to be watching the tour of Georgia this week, why don't you let some people know about the Fredcast and have them give it a listen, and hopefully they too will become subscribers. Before we close out the show tonight, as we always do, it's our PodSafe cycling music coming to us, as it does most weeks, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Tonight's music is called Mine Again by Black Lab. Black Lab is a favorite here on the Fredcast and is also a favorite across the internet. As you may know, they were involved in something called Bum Rush the Charts a couple of weeks ago, where an independent artist was chosen to try to hit the top of the iTunes charts, and it was Black Lab, and it was extremely successful. So I'm pleased to play another Black Lab song here on the Fredcast. Again, it's called Mine Again. I want to thank you for listening, and thank you for staying subscribed. We will be back again next week. Until then, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
There's a place I used to go. There's a world I used to know. There was a light and it was you. Every word I say. between us is the